Father, we thank you for those words through Mashiach Yahushua. So tonight is going to be the Jesus Revolution, Ruach, which is spirit. And so the movie just came out last week, and it's right now doing very well, and it's talking about the 1970s, the Jesus Revolution, which is very interesting because in 1969 in the United States, we had, what's the concert?
Woodstock,
you know, which is just demonic. And so you have drugs and sex and rock and roll, which is just demonic. And then here in the 70s, on the West Coast, you're having the Jesus Revolution where people, you know, in the movie, they're saying, why are these hippies doing this? And he says, they're on a quest. And the pastor said, you're on a quest for what? He said, God. And I thought, isn't that neat? Because people are looking for something that they don't have. But the significance of it, which we're going to see if you haven't seen the movie, three of us out of four has seen it, is the foundation of it. And the foundation of it, it came from the pastor, came from Foursquare Church. And if you're not, you know, if you're not familiar with Foursquare Church, it's Amy Simpleton McPherson.
No, Amy Simple.
Simple McPherson. And they manifest the Holy Spirit. And so you're going to, if you look nicely into the movie, you're going to see little characters in that. It's not prevalent. It probably couldn't be, but that's where the power was. And so what all of us are looking for is not a historical Yahweh where we read a book of things that happened. We want something that's happening today in my life. And that Ruach is there for that purpose. And so in the Old Covenant, you're going to see that people would have to go to the prophets to receive information from Yahweh. We don't have to do that anymore because they had the Ruach and the people didn't. Well, now all of us can have Ruach. So the Foursquare Church, and Amy Simpleton was...
Simpleton.
Began in 1918 and presided for 20 years. But the four squares stands for salvation, a baptism with Holy Spirit. And whenever you hear a baptizing with Holy Spirit, it is the manifestation, usually tongues. And what we're going to find out later is there's nine of the manifestations. You know, tongues is just the beginning. It's healing and second coming. So those are the four legs that this church was founded on. And it was based on what was written, This Is That. So there's a book that Amy McPherson wrote, and it's called This Is That. We know that's in Acts 2, when they said, when people were speaking in tongues, what is this? And Peter said, This Is That, which is spoken by Joel in chapter 2. She wrote the book in 1923, and this is an amazing individual, you know,
Canadian, too.
Yeah, Canadian. It came down to it. And it's something, if you ever want to look at it, check it out. I mean, there's not, some bad stuff, too. But she would end up from Canada, I think Ontario, but go to a city, and there'd be a, what they call a soap box, a wooden box, and she would end up sitting down there, and she would stand on it and just go like this. This pose, like this, until people start walking around her going, what is she doing? And then when you got enough people around her, she gave the gospel, the message. You know, that's very bold. You know, I mean, this is what they call it, evangelical. She was born in 1890 and died in 1944 by an accidental overdose of sleeping pills, which is a sad situation. But she started a huge church. It was a Pentecostal evangelist. And I forget what the church was called, but a radio station. She had, I think, you know, 20 or 40,000 members, you know, but it was a worldwide situation, but it was Pentecostal. It was what we call today Pentecostal. Every believer should be Pentecostal. Mm-hmm. And it's so sad it isn't, but when you're looking at the Jesus Revolution, people are attracted to a living God. And how do you know about a living God? It's manifested. And so what it is, it's doing the supernatural is being manifest at this meeting, and that's what brings people in. They want that. And that was the same way with me. I mean, my wife, went to the Way Ministry because they were speaking in tongues, interpreting, and prophesying. I wanted that. Chuck Smith, which was the pastor this story's about, he was 17 years with Four Square Church, and he went to their Bible college, which is, I forget what it's called, Life something. You can look up Chuck Smith. And Lonnie Frisbee is the hippie that brings in the people to Chuck Smith's church. And so that was Calvary Chapel, and then eventually the Vineyard. So the Vineyard is still big today, and it's usually what they call spirit-led is what they try to do. And the problem we're going to see with so much of this is what the Word says is that people are just babes. Instead of diving in, you know, they do one of the nine manifestations, and that's content. They're not expecting that at least the other two that's supposed to be done in the church, times of interpretation and prophecy, should be just abounding. And which obviously you don't see it today. Even with the Pentecostal churches, there'll be, if it does, it's a special supernatural event. And it's only because of unbelief, which we'll go into. But spirit is power. And as you know, every place that you see it, we're going to go into some of those places. Just an example. Here's a compass. You know, got that. When you open it up, there's some energy that's going through this room right now that we can't see always, and it's telling me north is that way. And where does that energy come from? It's coming from the North Pole. Now, I don't see anything in this room to show me there's any power force in this room. But this compass, I can go ahead and turn it all sorts of ways, and guess what? Bing. It's got to point north. Well, where is it coming right through me? We don't see it. So we have to think of Ruach as the same situation. Because you don't see it or feel it, it exists. So we got to tap into it, and that was the purpose if, you know, that your sons and your daughters would prophesy. That's in Joel 2. Are they prophesying? No, they're speaking in tongues. I told you not to do that in the church. That's your private prayer life. What I want you to do is interpret and prophesy. If in the church, you have to interpret and prophesy, and those are three of the nine manifestations. The prophecy, as we're going to see, is the information that's coming is word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Well, I don't feel led. Well, that's unbelief. If somebody says, I don't see magnetic force in this room. I don't believe there's a magnetic force in this room. I don't feel it. We just pull out a compass. There it is. If Yahweh says do this, then what do you have to do?
Do it.
You don't wait. You just do it. And in the doing, it's released. It's not in the waiting. If you're waiting and waiting and waiting, people waited all their life to be filled with, they call it, you know, Holy Spirit immersion or baptism, and they're waiting for a feeling. You don't wait for a feeling. Faith is an action. Yahweh says, you got it? Do it. You know, we're going to be on a new earth. Well, I don't see it. Can you give me some direct revelation? No, if the Word says it, you got it. And so my whole life is pinned on that kind of action. But we're going to see that Spirit is not the third person of the Trinity. It is Spirit, which is inside, which has been given to us, and we're going to see its power. So we go to Acts chapter 2, verse 16. But this is the Jesus Revolution. We brought the young people in to the body of the Christ. And you're going to see some of that in the movie because Lonnie Frisbee, you're going to see at one particular time, he's the hippie, young guy, but he's given a teaching and all of a sudden something hits him and he turns around and then he comes back and says, somebody's planning to die or is dying right now. And then he's looking at the room, and this is what we're looking for. And it's you. And then he walks down to a woman. That is activation that Yahweh in this particular situation. If you're sensitive, like your compass, if you're sensitive, t- tap on to that. Yahweh wants to give us that information where we can deliver people. But Acts, and so you'll see a few other places, but Acts 2, 16 through 18, this is that. But Peter said, but this is that which has been spoken through the prophet Joel, it shall be in the last days, saith Yahweh, I will pour out my ruach upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall what? Prophesy. Well, you got the Pentecostal speaking in tongues. Where's the prophecy? It says it right here. And your young man's vision shall see, and your elders dreams shall dream, and even unto my men servants and upon my maid servants in those days will I pour out my ruach, and they shall what? Prophesy. And then what the unbelievers who are in the theological seminaries and churches say, well, prophecy is inspired preaching. You know, which is just ridiculous. Yahweh can say inspired preaching. He can say that. Those are two different words. Prophecy is not inspired preaching. Prophecies are words from Yahweh, which we're going to see. We go to Acts 1:8. And here's a promise from Yahushua. If we just believe the scriptures, but ye shall receive power when the Holy Ruach cometh upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and as far as the uttermost parts of the land. Why are they witnesses? Because they have power, and people can see that power. So in this particular church, it was not a Catholic church. So the hippies did not go to a Catholic church.
A Baptist.
Or even a Baptist church. And everybody's the same deal. And so what you're looking at, most churches, it's a historical Jesus. It's an historical God. It's a history book of what happened, but it's not happening now.
Good point.
And that means it's dead. And that's not what the book is supposed to be, because our adversary has gutted the core of what happened on the day of Pentecost. Is the outpouring of a Ruach HaKodesh, which is, Ruach is Hebrew for what we translate spirit, and the word spirit actually means breath. Let me go one other place to you. This is very interesting. Back to Acts 2. Can you see it? And when the day of Pentecost was filled...
Acts 2:1.
And when the day of Pentecost was filling up, the number of days, they were all together with one intent when they came suddenly out of heaven a sound as a rushing mighty breath. It's not wind, it's breath. It's not ruach, it's, or pneuma, it's the word breath, and it's only used twice. The only person I know who translates that breath is Young's. I was trying to see what Hebrew word it is. I got it someplace up here. I was not planning on that. But that's it. If you look up the word, it's like poia, P-O-E-A or something like that. But it's only used twice, and it's the word breath. A rushing mighty breath.
That makes more sense.
Spirit is breath also. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it's Latin for breath. And people, now it's taken on a whole different meaning.
John, he said, breathe on them.
Yeah.
Receive your spirit.
Yeah, that's right. Now we can also go back to, or go to Luke 24, but back to power again. Luke 24, 49. And they're asking about, Will you know, the future of Israel. And then 49 says, and lo, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. The promise is Joel 2, Ruach HaKodesh.
Where are you?
Luke 24, 49. But tarry you in the city until you be clothed from on high with what?
Power,
which is synonymous with spirit. Because we know what's happening is spirit, but he ends up putting the word power in it. We're going to see power is always associated with spirit. So the hippies, the young generation, wanted power. living God that abides within us, that we can talk to and listen to and be guided by and be part of the body of the Christ. If we're the body of the Christ, well, of course, the head has to communicate to the body in order for us to be cooperative, and that's through his word, but also through Ruach, which is the, you know, it's like we did before, like a cell phone of our day. It's a communication device and a power device. Now we go, and just to give an example, is we go to Numbers 11, 25, and we'll start going through to validate. The Hebrew word is translated spirit sometime, but it's translated, wind, breath, blast, a lot of other things, is a word ruach. It's used Numbers 11:25. We're going to go through just some of this stuff here. And this is Moses in the wilderness. Yeah, let's see here. 11:25. Let's see here. And Moses is burned down and said, I can't do this. I got millions of people who are coming to me. And he says, get 70 men and we're going to do something special. I'm going to relieve this burden. So 25. Then Yahweh came down in the cloud and spake unto Moses and took of the Ruach, this is very good, that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 men, the elders. He didn't take it from Yahweh. He took it from Moses, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, that's interesting. I'm taking it from Moses and dividing that and adding that to 70 other people.
That felt like.
And it came to pass that when the Ruach rested upon them, they what? Prophesied. And then did no more, and then did so no more. And I believe that's a wrong interpretation. Because the Spirit was there to help them on managing and judging the people. So it's an active force, an active power force, in order that you can be a judge to the people.
Yeah.
Now we go to Deuteronomy 34:9. Right now in the United States, we're really having an awakening, which is very interesting. Somebody else pointed this out. There was a football player who died on the field in the NFL. And they were giving him CPR, and the players all knelt and started praying. That was the beginning, which is really interesting, because in the NFL, they're anti-God. And then they started saying these charts, pray for this guy, pray for this guy.
And he lived.
And he lived, and he's a believer. He has a big cross on his face. Pray, pray, pray. That was the wrong thing for the NFL. And then about 4 weeks ago, there was an outbreak in Ashbury University, which is in Kentucky. Here's a church service, and they said, if anybody wants to come to the altar and repent of their sins, it's like 100 students came. It's usually maybe one or two.
One to begin with. And then
But all of a sudden, it's just this overflow. And then what happened is, it's a revival. Is they had a continuous service. It's still going on now, I think, for 3 weeks before the Jesus Revolution came out. So you have three incidents. It goes bam, bam, bam. Now, the Jesus Revolution movie had to be set for the theaters probably a year ago. So there's no coincidence that we started this to promote our movie.
Yeah.
So you're looking at Yahweh and Christ doing something very, very special. And I think the Jesus Revolution already made $17 million in the first weekend, which is, I think, triple what they were anticipating. And so now I just got notice that there's 100 more theaters opening just to show it. Because most other cities aren't even going to show it. Until all of a sudden you start seeing fans really want it, they're going on it. But Deuteronomy 34:9, that's for people who are not in the United States and don't know what's going on. But Yahushua, that's Joshua, his real name is Yahushua, son of Nun, was full of Ruach of wisdom. Wow, the power of wisdom, how do we know that? For Moses did what? Had laid his hands on him. There's a transference at this particular time. He laid his hands on him. so that the sons of Israel hearkened unto him and did as Yahweh commanded Moses. So there was a transference of power and leadership to Yahushua, which is Joshua. Now we go to Judges 3. And we're just going to go through the book of Judges.
Judges what?
3:10. Chapter 3, verse 10. And you forget what the church, forget God the Holy Spirit. Think of Spirit. Now, we've done this before. Ruach is feminine. It's not masculine. That's the Hebrew. And the Greek will use pneuma to translate ruach, which is neuter. It's an it. It's a power source. You know, so once they've made it, our adversary made it a god, there's no way that abides within me. Well, yes, it does. So we see 3:10. And the ruach of Yahweh, and I forget who this is, Othniel. And the ruach of Yahweh came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war, and Yahweh delivered into his hands these people. Once he got this ruach, power came about to deliver Israel. You're going to see it all the way through the book of Judges. 6:34, chapter, will all be the book of Judges. Well, let's start 33. And now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the sons of the east were gathered together, and they crossed over and pitched in the vale of Jezreel. But the ruach of Yahweh clothed, isn't that great, Gideon. So he blew his horn. And we know what happened. Gideon, God, you had, what, 300 against 135,000. It's like 400 against one. And you're taking these people on. That's ruach. That's ruach. Now we go to 11:29. And we know our adversary, if he can't stop somebody from receiving spirit, he can't stop them from utilizing it by lying to them. And who's the best person for him to use to lie? Somebody. It's people in the church. Because they're going to believe him. And they're going to say, you can't do that. So the Baptists don't speak in tongues and interpret or prophesy. And I've got some list about the only people who do. And so what I've done is neutralize that power. So it's like having an app on your phone that you don't know even exists. And or they'll say, don't use that app, or you can't use that app. That app was for a long time ago.
You can't get on the internet with that thing.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, what you've done is you've neutralized it. Very effective. So 11:29. Then came upon Jephthah, the spirit of Yahweh, and he passed through Gilgal and Manasseh and passed through Mizpeh, let's see. And he became a deliverer, but the spirit came upon him. 13:25. This is 24. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. We all know about him. And the boy grew, and Yahweh blessed him. And the ruach of Yahweh began to urge him to and fro in the camp of Dan. And we know what happened with Samson. He brought great deliverance to the Israelites.
You see, all he remembers that he was betrayed by a woman.
Now we go to 14:6. We're going to see more of Samson. Great illustration. But remember, back then you had to be holy in order to receive ruach. So very few people had it. Kings, prophets, judges. Today, Christ has made us holy, so everybody can have it, and they need to exercise that. 14:6. Let me see here. And the ruach of Yahweh, you know, and this is really an example right here. Keep your hand there and go back to 13:25. Even Rotheram, you know, he had verse we were in, 13:25. You're going to see the capitalization of spirit and non-capitalization of spirit. So, you know, Rotheram had to get his Bible to do the same thing or people wouldn't buy it. But in 13:25, in the ruach of Yahweh, the ruach is small s, spirit. next page, it's capital S. So now it's saying the God of the Holy Spirit is this now. So, I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just random that people end up doing this. In verse 6, 14, 6, and the Ruach of Yahweh came suddenly upon him, and he tore it in pieces that had been torn in pieces a kid. There had been nothing at all in his hand, but he told his father and mother what he had done. Killed a lion with his bare hands. But interesting on the deception, on capitalizing it here and not capitalizing on the next page. Same Ruach. Don't you be deceived either. 19, verse 19, same chapter. And the Ruach of Yahweh came suddenly on him, and he went down to Ashkelon and smote them 30 men. Power. Let's say here, verse 19, 15, chapter 15, verse 14. And he was coming as far as Lehi, and the Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Ruach of Yahweh came suddenly upon him, and the robes that were upon his arms became threads of flax. So the power, hey, can you see connection between Ruach and power? Ruach and power, Ruach and power, they're synonymous. Or not synonymous. You know, Ruach, that is to say power. It'd be like me to say gasoline, that is to say energy. You know, or electricity, that is to say power. I guess that'd be even better. And let's go to 1 Samuel 10. Verse 6. Oh, yeah. Then will come suddenly. Oh, yeah, this is Samuel the prophet telling Saul. He anointed him with as to be king, and he's telling him, then will come suddenly upon thee the Ruach of Yahweh, and thou shalt be moved to prophesy with them. There's prophecy again. And shall be changed into another man. We have a video on prophesying. If you go to Tellulos Ministries, you'll see a whole video and papers on it. So it's, prophecy is as easy as speaking in tongues. It's the same thing. It's just action. Let's see here, verse 10. And when they had come thither to a hill, lo, a band of prophets coming to meet him, then came suddenly upon him the Ruach of Elohim, and he was moved to prophesy in their midst. And now we go to, well, we don't even have to do that, but no, I'll give you the verses. David is 1 Kings 16:13, Elijah 2 Kings 2:15, Zechariah 2 Chronicles 24:20. Now we'll go back to the book of Acts 2:38. But these are all example upon example upon examples. So the way ministry was revolutionary, they came from the Jesus Revolution here in Ohio. But not only do they speak in tongues, but they taught the interpretation of tongues, which is supposed to be done in the church, and prophecy. They're all connected. So Acts 2:38. Let me go back here. Why, you're going to see Calvary Chapel did not do that. The Vineyard doesn't do that. They're still waiting for something, and then they get into God the Spirit, and they're you know, Heidi Baker will do this, and these other people, and they're waiting for. They're praying for God the Spirit to come. No. You've already got Holy Spirit. Utilize it. 2:38. And how did he get it? And Peter said unto them, repent ye. I like it was a good teaching a person was doing on that. He says, today they say, ask Jesus into your heart. And the guy said, no, they didn't. He said, repent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You got to change directions first.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. No, gosh, Jesus, no. Oh, I'm going to keep doing what I want to do, and I'm with Jesus in my heart, too. What a winner. I can keep fornicating, and I go to heaven, too, or new earth, and I get spared, too. What a deal. Man, that's you know, an ice cream and beer at the same time. I got it all. And Peter said to them, repent ye, change direction. And let each of you be immersed in the name of Yahushua Mashiach into the remission of your sins. And what? You shall receive the free gift of Holy Ruach. Go to chapter 6. We're going to see what people have done. They're exercising that. It wasn't just the apostles that are doing this. And this Lonnie Fries and the Jesus Revolution is doing this. He's exercising spirit, Ruach. And then they kind of shut it down in the movie, at least at the end. But at the beginning, it isn't. And yeah, he's walking by the Spirit. Now, he died of AIDS at age 40, so it's a sad situation. So he was in the ministry for about 20 years, made some mistakes. I don't want to ruin the movie, but people categorize him as a Samson. I thought that's a good illustration. Samson ruled for 20 years, and he got tricked by the lust of his flesh with a woman and died. And so the same way with this particular person. But other people didn't. Hopefully I didn't run your movie. 6:5, chapter 6, verse 5. And they said, we need more people. And the word was pleasing the sight of all the throng, and they selected Stephen, a man full of faith in what? Holy Spirit. And Philip. And so we're going to look at Stephen and Philip. Well, everybody has Holy Spirit, yeah, but they're not exercising it. And you're going to see Stephen exercised it. Now look at verse 8. Now Stephen, was he apostle? No, he wasn't. And Stephen, full of favor and power, where did he get that power? Holy Spirit. Began to do great wonders and signs among the people. Well, look at that. And verse 8, well, I guess we're there. Now we go to Philip, chapter 8, verse 6. You know what happened to Stephen. And the multitude began to give heed unto the things that were being spoken by Philip with one accord when they heard him and saw the signs that he was working. How was he doing the signs? Because you can't do something supernatural without power force. And so that's what Ruach is. We go to 19, Acts chapter 19. And let's start 4, verse 4 through 7. Then said Paul, John immersed with an immersion of repentance unto the people asking, what are you immersed in? We're immersed in John's immersion. Okay, that's what he explained. Unto the people saying that on him who was coming after him, they should believe, that is unto Yahshua. This is the same thing that's happened today. People don't realize what's available. And they didn't know it was available. They didn't know about speaking in tongues. They didn't know about prophecy. All they know is immersion, repenting of your sins, and that's it. That's it. You're Catholic, you're Baptist, every other Presbyterian, Lutherans. And 5, and when they heard this, they were immersed in the name of the Lord Yahushua, and Paul laying hands upon them, Ruach HaKodesh came upon them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. It's just one and the same. So we see that. Now we go to 1 Corinthians 12. There are 9 manifestations. Not just one. Tongues is great. We're going to see tongues is between you and Yahweh, but in the church and in the world around us, we've got 8 other ones to go. And 7 first... 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. You want to read that, Aaron?
But unto each one is given manifesting of Ruach, with a view to that which is profitable. For unto one, indeed, through the Ruach is given a word of wisdom, but unto another, a word of knowledge, according to the same Ruach. Unto a different one, faith in the same Ruach. And unto another, gifts of healing in the one Ruach. And to another, energy of mighty works. And another prophesying, and another discrimination of spirits, and to a different one kinds of tongues, and to another translation of tongues. But all these energize the one and the same Ruach, distributing unto each one particularly even as it is disposed.
So, there's 9 manifestations of the one. They're not gifts. There are evidence. Manifestation means evidence. There are 9 evidences of the one gift, which is spirit. People say, I don't have the gift of prophecy. I don't have the gift of tongues. I don't have the gift of word of knowledge. You've been all deceived. It's and we're going to see that. It is tongues of interpretation, discerning and prophecy. Then you got discerning of spirits. How can you deliver? And this we're going to see with in Jesus' movement, a guy delivering people from demonic forces. Well, how can you deliver somebody if you don't know if there is demonic forces? Because the spirit's called discerning of spirits, and all of a sudden Yahweh says, here's the problem, demon, or unclean spirit. And we saw that with Christ many times, where all of a sudden the person couldn't speak or hear, and it wasn't a physical problem, it was a demonic problem. Because once the demon was released, or, you know, cast out, they spoke and heard. And so you have to realize, and how can you know that? Because it has to be discerning of spirits. And then word of wisdom says, okay, discerning of spirits says, this person has a spirit. And you can walk into a room, any believer who is sensitive to Yahweh, the spirit, and then know something's wrong. And you'll know, people look all right, but something's wrong here. And then that's an indication that there's something spiritual going on. And it could be a demonic person. And the point is, now what do I do? I find it's this person. Now what do I do? Nothing. Just leave. Okay. Because if they're not ready to be released to the demon's not leaving. That's discerning the spirits. And now I've got to have a word of knowledge to tell me, what do I do next? Cast it out. Okay, that's word of knowledge and word of wisdom. The information is there's a spirit, and you're going to cast it out. Okay, those are the three manifestations that I'm operating. But otherwise, there's no way I'm stumbling around.
That would have been the Apostle Paul with the woman with the spirit of Python.
Yeah.
For 3 days he endured it.
Yeah.
Like Danny went.
Yeah, that's it. So he had discerning of spirits, and then his word of knowledge is don't do anything now. Don't do anything now. So 3 days it followed him. And so we're the body of the Christ. We are manifestations. We are the hands and the feet of Christ. We have to have that power, and we have to have that information, and we do by the Spirit. But sensitivity, the compass, guess what? I can't go like this. It doesn't work that way. You know? I've got to let it float, and guess what? I've got to be, it goes north, and it's going to swing back over here, north, and then all of a sudden it balances, true north. Okay. Sensitivity is floating on water. Patience, patience, patience. Tuning in. Are you practicing the presence of God? Yahweh. So when you're off by yourself, what do I need to know? And just sit there. Listen. Be sensitive. It's not going to be a voice, but it's going to be a knowledge. Information that comes to you, call this person or talk to this person. Or read this, and you're okay. Going on vacation. We're planning on doing this. If we're not supposed to do that, let me know. And you wait for a day or two and no information. Okay. Then that means my plane's not going to crash.
Amen.
I'm not going to a place where I'm going to get hurt on vacation. It's going in there. But even if you are in there and all of a sudden something changes, Yahweh, you say, whoops. So the people on 9/11 where the planes blew into the building, they should have been on those planes. So Yahweh told everyone who has spirit, don't get on this plane.
Or don't go to work today.
Yeah, don't go to work, or don't go to work today too, because these incidents are going to happen. And the people who are tuned in, well, you can't, you're going to give up your ticket. Oh, well, I can't do that. And so they go ahead and go through and they died. And so it can be that extreme, not to be fearful, but you've got to realize that Yahweh doesn't want anybody to die, and Yahweh and Christ knew all this was being planned. Now we go to 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5.
No, not 14.
The 1 Corinthians 14, 1. And so people say it's a gift. Now wait a minute. If prophecy and tongues of interpretation was a gift, which it appears that way, it says to one, then this chapter can't happen, because I can't tell you, I want you to interpret and prophesy. Well, I don't have a gift. You can't tell me to seek to prophesy and interpret unless I have the gift. Well, this is going to say, I want all of you to speak in tongues. I don't have the gift of tongues. All of you to speak in tongues, interpret, and prophesy. Oh, okay, so that shows you it's not a gift. And we know, wait a minute, the gift was spirit, and it says, your sons and your daughters shall what? prophesy. They didn't say they had the gift of prophecy. I don't have the gift of prophecy. No, Spirit enables you to prophesy. You're one and the same. Pursue love, nevertheless be envious of the spiritual. The word gifts is not there. The word's pneumaticos. And rather, what? That you may be prophesying. Well, we don't have it. He's talking to the whole Corinthian church. Everybody reads this. Well, we don't have the gift of prophecy. He can't say that because I'd rather that you be prophesying, for he that speaks with the tongue. The lie is, speaking in tongues, it's only if you're in a natives, we did this the other day, you're natives and they don't know your language, and then you speak in tongues and then told them what to do, like on the day of Pentecost. Well, no. For he that speaks with the tongue speaks unto natives.
Nope.
No. Not unto men does speak, but unto who?
Yeah.
God. For no one understands, although in Ruach he is speaking what? Sacred secrets to who? Oh, to Yahweh. So when they say don't speak in tongues, or you can't speak in tongues, they're saying don't communicate with Yahweh. Wow. That's demonic. Absolute demonic. Mm-hmm. But he that prophesieth, unto men does speak what? Edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaketh with a tongue buildeth up himself, whereas he that prophesied buildeth up the assembly. That is the church. And is it done in your church? No. Is it done in my church, Catholic Church? No. We just did it there to show people. 24 and 25, when you prophesy, but if all be prophesying, and there coming one who is unbelieving or unskilled, he is convicted by all, he is searched by all, the secrets of his heart become manifest. Well, how does the secrets of his heart become manifest? Yahweh knows the secrets of his heart, and by you speaking, that's going to come out. And he's going to hate it. No. And so falling down upon his face, he will do homage unto Yahweh, reporting that in reality, God is among you. Wow. Who doesn't want that? That's what happened in the Jesus Revolution. They're coming for power and deliverance and exercising of power. In 39, same chapter, summation. So then, my brethren, be zealous to prophesy. You can't say that if it's a gift. And do not forbid to be speaking with tongues. Let all things with comeliness and be arrangement do be done. So the people who are speaking in tongues in the church, in Pentecostal, without interpreting, is upsetting Yahweh. Because he says in 1 Corinthians 14, don't do that. That's what the whole, it's about people are speaking in tongues without interpreting or prophesying. Stop it. That's between you and Yahweh. It doesn't help anybody else in this building. It just exalts you, is what it ends up doing. And
not with interpretation.
Well, yeah, you got to have the interpretation. You got to, but the churches today don't interpret. They just all speak in tongues out loud or in a building, and it's confusion. It doesn't do anything. And you're doing exactly what Yahweh says don't do in 1 Corinthians 15. Okay, so the churches that speak in tongues are the assemblies of God. Now they're not going to prophesy a word. They're not going to operate the nine. The Church of God, Four Square Apostolic Church, Vineyard. But there's only usually one manifestation, it's tongues. We know also the people who do that, the Way does all nine. The Way Ministry shows you how to do all nine manifestations, which you have the ability. The Kenneth Copeland and Andrew Womack, only one. At least they got that. They got speaking in tongues. And so we know all nine manifestations, and if you do that, it will change people's lives. And so by prophesying to some, a stranger, as my son does, and we do also, if you can be even a waiter, it's complete strangers, and what's better than anything else is a prophecy to somebody you have no idea who they are. And you can ask them, is there anything, so I will do it, you can do your own tip, I'll ask them, how is your life? Instead of, how are you today? Everybody will say, fine. How is your life? Huh. Do you need have any prayers? Prayer request? And they can say, well, yeah. Some people say yes. And right at the table, you can say, let's pray for you. And by beginning a prayer, you go into prophecy. To that individual. You don't ask them if they want a prophecy. They don't know what that is. That spooks them. You give them a prayer, and then Yahweh will tell you, will speak to them at that particular moment, and it's going to rock through to the people who have a heart and are seeking Yahweh, it's going to rock their world. Because somebody who's not seeking Yahweh is going to really awaken. How did he know that? Because a lot of times things are going to come out that pertains to them. That's a supernatural event. So, if you have any questions on that, let me know. But we'll go ahead and end with a prophecy for you, according to 1 Corinthians 14. Well, Father, we thank you for these words. Be still, and in the stillness I abide. In quietness I abide. So you must calm down, you must turn down the noise, and abide in the quietness where I can communicate with you. So do that daily as an activity, and I will fill you with the information that you need is required to operate your day and to set not only your life free, but others around you. See you next week.
Hi, I returned from a mission, Iceland, a vacation. When I go on vacation, I'm on call. I like to minister. But Dad just did a teaching on prophesying and power, and all of us have Holy Spirit inside of us. We have that walk out of it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24, it says that we can tell people the secrets of their heart. That's power. We don't know it, but Yahweh does. And so what we do is you start with a prayer. Can I pray for you? And then once they say, can I pray for you? Once you start praying for them, then you believe and you get ready to tell them the secrets of their heart. And as you walk out, Yahweh will wreck their world. And so when I was in Iceland corresponding with a friend of mine. She's a Romanian from Germany. And she sent me a message that she just went door to door knocking, evangelizing. And I went, wow. And then she felt embarrassed. I shouldn't have bragged on that. But I said, no. It started a revival inside me. I could be doing more. And I need to make these contacts. And the neatest thing would have been on my cab ride to in Denmark. I've been ministering to people while I was there, but I was not a cab ride. It was a shuttle back to the airport. Here I am with this guy from Ukraine. His family fled Ukraine because of the war. They're not there anymore. And should I do something with this guy? Should I not? And I was talking myself out of it. But then Yahweh was patient with me. He goes, you're going to miss it. And I went, oh. So what I will do is I'll find a reason to the pray. And anytime I do business with somebody, the catch is I'm going to ask if I can pray for you. Because it puts him in a tight spot. But anyways, I gave him a big tip. And I said, can I pray for you? And he said, okay. And he's got heavy metal music on, kind of turns it down a little bit. And I start praying, and all of a sudden, it's secrets of his heart. And this one was really specific. It said, there's a woman in your life, or there'll be a woman in your life that already, she sees you as a superhero. You don't understand why or how. You don't need to. All you need to do is enjoy it the way you enjoy a sunset. Words came. When I got done, I looked at him, and his face and his eyes and his hands, everything was wide open. And so that was one of the neater manifestations.
Yeah. Amen.